Today on In Spirit and Truth with Pastor J.D. Farag.
It took Jehoiada stepping out with a bold faith in carrying this out. He knew full well that in his bold stance in confronting the evil of Athaliah, that could have absolutely cost him his life. Yet he does it anyway. And to me, this speaks to the paramount importance of stepping out in faith and trusting God, no matter the personal cost.
You're listening to In Spirit and Truth, the radio ministry of Pastor J.D. Farag of Calvary Chapel, Kaneohe. Pastor J.D. is currently teaching through the book of 2 Chronicles. God promised that the Messiah would come through the line of David, and Satan tried more than once to break that line using evil rulers like Athaliah. In turn, God used righteous men like Jehoiada to preserve his plan. In today's message, Pastor J.D. teaches how it takes having more faith in God than fear of men to do what's right. Now, be sure to stay with us after today's message to hear how you can get your own copy of this broadcast. Subscribe to the In Spirit and Truth podcast or download the In Spirit and Truth iPhone or Android mobile app. Now, here's Pastor J.D. with today's edition of In Spirit and Truth.
Chapters 23 and 24. All right, before we jump in, I think we need a little bit of backstory here before we pick it up. In chapter 23, we were introduced to a very wicked woman by the name of Athaliah. And no surprise, she's the daughter of one Ahab and Jezebel. So no wonder. But in the previous chapter, we were told that she had actually murdered all of her own grandchildren, her own flesh and blood, and she did so in order to stay in power, to eliminate any potential threat to the throne. And this is right out of Ahab and Jezebel's evil playbook. You might say that the apple certainly did not fall too far from the tree in this case. And then we were also introduced to Jehosheba, who takes Joash, who at the time is about 1 year old, and hides him from this wicked Athaliah, who would have certainly killed him. And she ends up hiding him for a total of 6 years, as we're going to see. Very interesting. And what she does is very interesting for a couple of reasons, both of which relate to the reason that she takes Joash and takes it upon herself to hide this one remaining son who's the only remaining descendant of King David, which is from the lineage of the Messiah. God reminds them of his covenant with David. And this covenant with David, that there will always be an heir to the throne that would come from the line of David, and that cannot be broken. And this is why she does what she does. And more importantly, is that this would be the only remaining descendant from whom would come the Savior of the world. And so she hides him away from this Athaliah, who has no idea. As far as she's concerned, she has eliminated every potential heir to the throne. The second reason this is interesting is that it's for 6 years. And that is, to me, a type of these 6 years for the history of mankind. Six, of course, the number of man. Peter tells us that to God, 1,000 years for us is like one day to him. So 1,000 years is like 6 days. Six, the number of men, and seven, the number of completion. And again, as we're going to see tonight, he is revealed. This king, this Joash, is revealed in the seventh year after 6 years of this evil reign. Now, if you really think about it, for six long years, it almost seemed like God's word and God's promise had somehow failed. Nobody knows about Joash. As far as everyone is concerned, she has succeeded in eliminating every potential heir to the throne. And so too is this true in the typological sense of for 6,000 long years, it seems that God, in his covenant, in his promise of the Lord's return, has somehow not been fulfilled. And what's even more interesting by way of the typology is, again, it's that seventh year. It's that seventh, 1,000th year, the millennial reign, when Jesus Christ rules and reigns in the kingdom age on earth, and the earth is going to be like it was before sin entered the world. You know, we talk about the rapture and eternity future, but do you realize that we have a 1,000-year period of time, that millennial reign, the kingdom age, and we're going to be in our glorified bodies for 1,000 years, ruling and reigning with Jesus Christ, seated on the throne with him as his bride by his side. And then, after that 1,000 years, that's when Satan is finally loosed, where he's been for 1,000 years, from the bottomless pit, and then he's cast into the lake of fire. And then it's the new heaven and the new earth for all eternity in the new Jerusalem at that time. And it comes at the end, subsequent to that period of seven being the number of completion. I don't want to get too far off on that, but I do find it interesting as we see this typology here with the 6 years being hid before he's finally revealed. Well, one last thing, which is kind of a interesting side note. Joash is hid in the temple, the one place where Athaliah would never find him. That's the one place she's never going to go. And that's why successfully he's hid for 6 years in the temple. If you want to hide your money from your kids, put it in the Bible. They'll never find it. Okay, let's move on. Verse 1, chapter 23. In the seventh year, Jehoiada strengthened himself and made a covenant with the captains of hundreds. Azariah, the son of Jeroham, Ishmael, the son of Jehohanan, Azariah, the son of Abed, Maaseiah, the son of Adaiah, and Elishaphat, the son of Zikri. And verse 2, they went throughout Judah and gathered the Levites from all the cities of Judah and the chief fathers of Israel, and they came to Jerusalem. Then all the assembly made a covenant with the king in the house of God. And he said to them, "Behold, the king's son shall reign as the Lord has said of the sons of David. This is what you shall do," verse 4. "One-third of you entering on the Sabbath of the priests and the Levites shall be keeping watch over the doors. One-third shall be at the king's house and one-third at the gate of the foundation. All the people shall be in the courts of the house of the Lord." This is actually very strategic during the shift change there in the temple. And that's when they're going to reveal him. Verse 6, "But let no one come into the house of the Lord except the priests and those of the Levites who serve. They may go in, for they are holy, but all the people shall keep the watch of the Lord." And verse 7, "The Levites shall surround the king on all sides, every man with his weapons in his hand, and whoever comes into the house, let him be put to death. You are to be with the king when he comes in and when he goes out." Now, keep in mind, Joash is 6 years old at this point. Actually, he's going to be 7 years old by the time he is revealed and anointed as king. Can you imagine how glorious this must have been for them? They've been oppressed by this wicked and evil reign for 6 long years. And again, as far as they're concerned, there was no legitimate king that would be a surviving heir to the throne of David's royal line. And now they're about to get the surprise of their lives. This is another but God, isn't it? But God, true to his word and true to his promise, on the seventh day, there it is again, in the seventh year, reveals and anoints their true king. There's something else here that is really intriguing to me, and I think it's sort of impossible to overstate just how amazing this was, in that it took Jehoiada stepping out with a bold faith in carrying this out. He knew full well that in his bold stance in confronting the evil of Athaliah, that could have absolutely cost him his life. Yet he does it anyway. And to me, this speaks to the paramount importance of stepping out in faith and trusting God, no matter the personal cost. It's kind of a reminder to me of what Job said, though he slay me, yet will I praise him. Reminds me too of what Esther said when she was going to approach the king without being summoned, knowing full well that if he didn't put out his scepter, she was done. She was killed on the spot. It was something that was punishable by death. And she says to Mordecai, listen, this is what I have to do. And if I perish, I perish. But I have to do this. And I see Jehoiada in the same way. He knows he has to do this. And he knows that it could cost him his life. Yet he does it. And that takes great faith. I think we do err greatly when we refuse to take risks by faith under the banner of playing it safe. We just kind of want to very cautiously and self-protective, and that self-preservation kicks in, and we don't step out in faith. And the writer of Hebrews tells us that without faith, it's impossible to please God. And that means that with faith, it is possible, and certainly we do please God. F.B. Meyer had some interesting insight into this. He says, the easiest thing for Jehoiada would have been to shut himself up in the temple and leave things to take their course. The noblest thing was to come forth and boldly confront the rampant evil of his time. The world, and this is interesting, is full of Athaliahs. And it is not befitting that the Jehoiadas should remain at their holy rites and services if there is a paramount need for action in the world's battlefield in the strife against wrong. Boy, how apropos is that for us today? This taking a stand for righteousness. And what is entailed in taking a stand for righteousness is to confront evil, to speak up, to step out, and by faith, trust God no matter what, no matter the cost, because of what's at stake. Verse 8, so the Levites and all Judah did according to all that Jehoiada the priest commanded, and each man took his men who were to be on duty on the Sabbath with those who were going off duty on the Sabbath, for Jehoiada the priest had not dismissed the divisions. And verse 9, Jehoiada the priest gave to the captains of hundreds the spears and the large and small shields which had belonged to King David, that were in the temple of God. Then he set all the people, every man with his weapon in his hand, from the right side of the temple to the left side of the temple, along by the altar and by the temple, all around the king. And verse 11, they brought out the king's son, put the crown on him, gave him the testimony, and made him king. Then Jehoiada and his sons anointed him and said, long live the king. Now, meanwhile, when Athaliah heard the noise of the people running and praising the king, she came to the people in the temple of the Lord. When she looked, there was the king standing by his pillar at the entrance, and the leaders and the trumpeters were by the king. All the people of the land were rejoicing and blowing trumpets, also the singers with musical instruments and those who led in praise. That was the praise and worship team. So what is her response? So Athaliah tore her clothes and said, "Treason, treason." And Jehoiada the priest brought out the captains of hundreds who were set over the army and said to them, "Take her outside under guard and slay with the sword whoever follows her." For the priest had said, "Do not kill her in the house of the Lord. I don't want to clean up the mess." So they seized her, and she went by way of the entrance of the horse gate into the king's house, and they killed her there. Good riddance. Good riddance. Couple thoughts here on this gnarly narrative, if I can call it that. The first is that this passage, this account, should be a source of great encouragement and hope to us today. And the reason is that it points to that great and final day when our greater than Joash, our King Jesus, is anointed after 6,000 long years of evil reigning seemingly unchecked. I think of what the psalmist wrote in Psalm 73. Really, he was messed up, stumbled greatly in his faith, having a full-on crisis of faith. Why? Because it seemed that evil was prevailing, that it was going unchecked. And he said, "My foot almost slipped. I almost stumbled. It almost caused me to fall away. Lord, where are you? Why do you let this continue? Why is this evil allowed? Why are the Athaliahs of this world allowed to prevail in this way for this long?" And I love what he says at the end of the psalm. In fact, this is the go-to psalm for anyone who is really struggling with the evil in this world, as it waxes more and more evil, seemingly by the day. Psalm 73, he says that it was until I went into the house of the Lord. That's a good place to go. You go into the temple of the Lord, the church of Jesus Christ, and there the Lord showed him their end. And it was like, okay, all right. God's delays are not God's denials. Justice will not be denied. It might be delayed, but it will not be denied. Their end is coming. And he was okay with that. And he rested in that. And he trusted in that. And he was able to get through that. F.B. Meyer referred to this as the anointing and enthroning of our King after a cruel and murderous tyranny of the usurper. For 6,000 years, the devil has wreaked havoc in his evil on this fallen world, but that day is coming to an end. And I would suggest, I'll take it a step further and suggest, that we are at the end of the sixth year, that 6,000th year, as it were, and our greater than Joash is about to be anointed and enthroned soon and very soon. G. Campbell Morgan of this wrote, "Her own treason," speaking of Athaliah, "against the true and abiding king of the nation was defeated. Thus, sooner or later, and in ways equally dramatic, the moment arrives when those who plot and plan against heaven and righteousness find themselves looking at the evidences of the triumph of God and of goodness over all their wickedness." Be encouraged. This evil, this wickedness will come to an end. God will have the final word. God is just, and it will come, hopefully very soon. It should be noted that the judgment that was meted out on Athaliah was actually in accordance with the law of Moses. This was punishable by death. Anyone who would turn God's people away from the worship of God, which is exactly what she had done. Now, I mention this because God takes very seriously the leading of his people astray. I think about Proverbs chapter 7, I think it is, maybe chapter 6, where we have the list of the six things that God hates, and the seventh is an abomination to him. And what is that seventh that is an abomination? It's those who sow discord amongst the brethren, because that turns people away from God. People want nothing to do with the Lord. People want nothing to do with church. God takes that very seriously. God hates it. It's an abomination. And that's, in a sense, what Athaliah had done. She had been fully given over to the worship of Baal in leading Israel to sin, as we're about to see. When Joash is king, they go in, and the first thing they do is get rid of all of the idolatry, all of the Baal worship that was in the temple. In the temple. Be like in this church, having this worship of these false gods taking place in the temple of God, if you can imagine. That's how bad it was. And God takes that very seriously. It's an abomination to him. Verse 16, then Jehoiada made a covenant between himself, the people, and the king, that they should be the Lord's people. And all the people went into the temple of Baal and tore it down. They broke in pieces its altars and images and killed Matan, the priest of Baal, before the altars. Also Jehoiada appointed the oversight of the house of the Lord to the hand of the priests, the Levites, whom David had assigned in the house of the Lord to offer the burnt offerings of the Lord, as it is written in the law of Moses, with rejoicing and with singing, as it was established by David. And verse 19, he set the gatekeepers at the gates of the house of the Lord so that no one who was in any way unclean should enter. Then he took the captains of hundreds, the nobles, the governors of the people, and all the people of the land, and brought the king down from the house of the Lord. And they went through the upper gate to the king's house and set the king on the throne of the kingdom. So all the people of the land rejoiced, and the city was quiet. Why? For they had slain Athaliah with the sword.
There's so much more to learn from the nation of Israel and the book of 2 Chronicles, but sadly, that's all the time we have for today's edition of In Spirit and Truth. Be sure to join us again, though, as Pastor J.D. continues teaching verse by verse through this fascinating Old Testament book. In the meantime, you can find more messages from Pastor J.D. by visiting our website at inspiritandtruthradio.com. That address again is inspiritandtruthradio.com. You can subscribe to our podcast as well and receive new messages right away. Download our mobile app for Android and iPhone, as well as always have teachings from God's Word right at your fingertips. Don't miss the Aloha Prophecy Update either. Each Friday and Saturday, Pastor JD shares the current events and how they relate to the end times prophecies described in the Bible. The purpose behind these updates is to take a practical look at the end times that we believe we are in. Pastor JD hopes the information he provides stirs in us an urgency to share the gospel message and make sure all have heard of the good news of Jesus before he returns to judge the world. There's much to learn each week, and Pastor JD does a great job of getting us the information we need. You can find new and previous updates by visiting our YouTube channel. We hope today's message has touched your life and left you craving more from the Word of God. Join Pastor JD next time for another in-depth look at the book of 2 Chronicles, right here on In Spirit and Truth. With your way, holding me true to you. La, 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 ah, ah.
feel